We've got Lisa Beeney in. And Lisa, we've got so much to squeeze in and important stuff in the build-up to Christmas. I know we want to talk about, we're going to talk about visits, home visits, which are important. And we're also going to talk about, before you go and buy somebody a present that you might think is very, very useful, and it could be, just have a little look at how much juice these things are. Bearing in mind, I was looking at a smoker yesterday. How do we know which one of those do you want to tackle first?
We'll go for the how do you know with the smoker.
Okay.
So, all electrical appliances will have a rating label on them somewhere that will tell you how much energy it can use. That might be in watts, so it might say 1500W, or it might be in kilowatts, in which case it would be 1.5kW. So the 1,500 and the 1.5kW, they're the same. Typically, an air fryer will be about 1,500-ish. Some are a bit more, some are a bit less. So look at the rating label on anything you're going to buy and compare it to that. So we know air fryers save about half on the cooking. So if your smoker says 3,000, you know that's going to be about the same as an oven would be to run.
Wow, that is incredible.
3,000 is roughly what most electric kettles are. Some are a bit less, some are a bit more, but somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 is an electric kettle. So that gives you an idea of the range that you can expect it to be. Now, some air fryers, some of the double draw ones, they'll be up in the 2,000 range. So you're getting towards being similar to an electric oven with those as well. So it's only really the smaller one drawer air fryers that give you the saving. Anything much bigger than that, it could be marginal whether you're saving any money or not.
Okay, that's interesting, because they used to be, I noticed on these programs now that they used to be, oh, and it's cheaper and it's this and it's that, and I've heard a few of these things that they've been using recently, and they've not actually made a point of saying that, probably because they can't.
Yeah.
So we bought an air fryer with the double oven. I think it's a Ninja, or I think it's the one that you pull the thing out the centre so it makes it a bigger one.
Yes.
So are you saying that might be one that is
it
using
might
a lot
be
of juice?
A little, it might be a bit more than a standard one drawer air fryer, but have a look at its rating label or have a look online, and it will tell you, if you look on the technical specifications, it will have a power level.
Okay.
And it's those power levels to compare. But even your one drawer with the divider, the chances are that is still going to be less money to run than a cooker.
Yeah.
But it might not be half the saving.
Well, that's something. It's a saving. And I was just thinking, the last time I used the oven was probably, I don't know, two Christmases ago.
Yeah.
Although when we carve a joint on a Sunday, we always carve the joint, put it on a plate, and then for it to cool down, we put it in the oven to stop the cats getting it. So that's what it's become. Somewhere where you put your hot meat and it
to stop the cats getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Other people have used it as a bread bin.
Yeah.
So, what a waste of space, though.
Yes, and we're meeting more and more people now that don't have ovens. If you live in a small property with a tiny kitchen, if you've got a microwave, an air fryer and a slow cooker, you can live without an oven, especially if it's just one or two of you. I know our air fryer at home, I use just about every single day. It's only the two of us,
yeah.
So it's ideal.
Yeah, that's all we use. That is all we use. So just so, for instance, I've noticed that there's something else for sale where you can do some sizzling frying, and then you put the lid on it and then it becomes a slow cooker as well. Because it's got the sizzle feature, if you like, is that one that we should also look at too,
in case? Look at the power. We've got one of those at home. And that uses about 1,700 watts, so 1.7 kilowatts. So it's a fraction more than some air fryers, but it's still about half of what the oven would use.
Okay.
Because they are quite well insulated, and by putting the lid on, everything cooks faster. Some of those also have a pressure cooking function, and that builds up the pressure with steam inside, and that cooks the food an awful lot quicker. So sometimes, even though it might use slightly more power than just an air fryer, because it cooks faster, you have that saving because it's not on for as long.
Okay. Is it just going back to slow cookers, is it fair to say that every slow cooker is going to save you money, or again, should we check the digits?
I would always check the digits, but that's me. That's what I do. That's what I look at with everything. But in general, slow cookers will save you money, yes.
Okay.
They will all vary slightly, but not by that much.
Now, we use our slow cooker as a toaster as well. Not slow cooker. We use the air fryer as a toaster as well.
They do lovely toasted sandwiches.
They certainly do. But again, is that because it's taken just a little bit longer? Would that be cheaper to use an ordinary air fryer to do your toast in, or a toaster?
That depends on your toaster. Again, a toaster will have a rating, so you can look at how many watts that uses, compare that to your air fryer, and that will give you your answer. But we do toasted sandwiches in the air fryer, but I still use the toaster for toast, for convenience as much as anything.
Okay. So, those little things, you can go a little bit too far. It's a case of, if you're cooking something for a long time, or, more than a few minutes, then obviously you've got to look at the cheaper function. But if it's just a toaster, just a quick pop it in, 2 minutes later it's done, then that's...
Yeah. Okay. It is easy to become too worried about this at times. And I suppose because of what I do for a job, I do look at absolutely everything we do. But if you make a lot of these little savings in all sorts of places, it does add up to a noticeable difference over the year.
Do you know what? I think we should be able to rent you out to take your shopping, so that we can buy wise, buy sensible. This is what you need. Don't get that one because it's got the too high rating and it's going to cost you X amount.
So. The thing is, it also comes down to people's budget, that everybody has a different budget as to what they can afford to spend on things. So all we would say is look at how much energy it uses, and within your budget, buy the most energy efficient one possible. Because some of the very energy efficient things cost a small fortune to buy, and that's not practical.
No, absolutely. So have a little look, and don't get too bogged down with it, but at the same time, just be sensible when it comes to, if you're watching these programs and they'll say, oh, this is the new big thing, and as soon as they mention this goes from this to this in just 2 minutes and it's really hot, it's the hottest one ever, yeah, it's going to use some power, it's going to use some juice, especially if it's a big machine.
Yes, and the other thing is, there will always be a new big thing. But just look at whatever it is you do in life. Are you struggling with what you've got to do what you want to do? Whether it's power tools, whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's your washing machine. Because there will always be something new and better and shiny out there. But if what you've got isn't limiting what you do, then do you actually need to buy it?
Yeah, that's common sense. Now, look, over the last, almost 2 years, roughly about 2 years since you've been coming in.
Yeah.
You've been talking about home visits and so on.
Yes.
And I know that we've got to be careful because, you go into someone's house, it's private and so on.
Yep.
But you've got some data, some detail?
Yes. Just to talk about some of the things we've been doing recently, because we've expanded what we're doing. So when we go into people's homes now, we can fit, like, the draft excluder brushes on people's doors and letterboxes, internal door draft excluders. Yesterday I fitted a couple of chimney balloons. So they are inflatable balloons that you put up somebody's chimney, you blow them up and it blocks it. Because without that, that's a great big open space that all your heat is going up. And it always surprises me, after we've done the draft proofing, even while we're there, you really notice a difference in how warm the houses and the rooms feel.
Do you know what? I've never really thought of that. We've got a place where there would be a chimney, and all it is there's a fire across it. I think there's some kind of coating that's been taped to the wall to block it off, but it's not completely blocked off because we were told not to because of air and so on.
Yeah.
And you never think. I'm guessing because if you put something like that up your chimney, then obviously you're not lighting your fire.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it does have something that hangs down, so you know it's there.
Right. Okay. But that, I've never really thought about that.
Yeah.
We used to have a in our old house, exactly the same thing. We didn't light the fire for about 2 years, but we used to even know that the wind got down because you could hear it blow and things sometimes fall down the chimney.
Yeah.
Not just Santa. And, we never really thought, we must be losing heat from there.
And it's surprising the difference that makes. But the other things that we can do after home visits, we can provide people with everything from thermal slipper socks, lovely fluffy blankets, heated throws. We have what we call a damp kit, which is a dehumidifier and some of those small moisture traps that people can use. We also, when we do the home visits, we have a whole stock of light bulbs with us, and we will change people's light bulbs for them for more energy efficient ones. So things that immediately make somebody's home warmer and cheaper to heat.
Wow. So, these are just some of the things that you've been doing over the last little while. What's the most interesting one? I find the balloon the most interesting because it's probably something that we've never even thought of because it's out of sight, out of mind.
It is out of sight, out of mind, but the thing that gets me every time are the letterboxes. That if you've got a wooden door and you don't have those letterbox brushes over it or some other flap on the inside, if you put your hand there, you can feel the cold coming through. And the immediate difference by fitting a letterbox cover is amazing. It really is.
I'm just thinking now, I want to sort of wait until it gets dark, go outside and get a torch and shine it through door cracks and things like that, because you probably won't see it during the day, will you? But you might feel it.
You will feel it. And to be fair, the back of your hand is normally a really good sensitive thing to use. The other thing you can do when we come round, we have thermal imaging cameras that we can use, and that shows up the cold spots. One house I've been to had almost no loft insulation, so they're getting that topped up. And I know that will save them money and make their home feel a lot warmer. One of the other things we do is actually fit the radiator foil for people. Again, that's only worth doing if a radiator is on an outside wall, because then it reflects some of that heat back into the house. If a radiator is on an internal wall, then all of that heat is staying within your property anyway.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's quite sensible. I was thinking about doing that, so I won't now.
Not for internal walls, you don't need to. External walls definitely will benefit from it.
External walls, I mean, when that's obviously on the inside, but the external, it's just, say, for instance, an outdoor wall.
Yeah.
Any advice for, a cold wall? Obviously, you have to keep things away from it.
Yes, airflow is important. If you have a particularly cold wall, you do need to move the furniture forward, make sure the air can circulate, try and heat the room and ventilate it as well so that any moist air doesn't get attracted to that wall. So if you use your bathroom, then close the door afterwards. I've seen some people online saying, oh no, leave the door open, it lets all the warm air circulate around the house. Yes, it does, but that warm air is carrying a lot of moisture. That will be attracted to the coldest spots in your home, where it will condensate and it will go mouldy. So you're better off closing that door and opening a bathroom window to let all that moist air out. If you have a heated airer, again, have it in a room with the door closed and the window open, or put a dehumidifier in the room as well, and that will help the washing dry a lot faster.
Well, after your visit, and you can only tell sometimes when you have a period of time and you've gone through a summer or a spring and so on.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that since your visit, the issues that we've had in the front of our house, which is in the shade most of the day, it's obviously got some kind of cold wall. And we used to get condensation on the inside of the windows every morning without fail. Because of what we now got in place, and because we open the windows and do that thing where you say, right, open them for 5 minutes or so, close them, but put them on the latch, we don't have any condensation, no damp on the wall.
So that
works.
That's just ventilation. And the technical term for that is purge ventilation. And all that means is opening all the windows with all the internal doors open for 5 to 10 minutes. And that is one of the simplest, easiest things everyone can do to help prevent damp issues in the home.
Fantastic. So how many visits do you reckon you've had in the last couple of years? You must have had hundreds.
Oh, yeah, hundreds.
So what are the most interesting visits? I don't mean people turning up and saying things, doing things. I mean, like, what's the thing? Oh, I never thought of that. I've never done that before. This is the first time ever.
There are some very old properties on the island that we've been to, and there's a whole series of properties where they have a window in the loft and then a large glass hatch in the ceiling, normally on the landing, to let the light through. And quite often that can be the loft access as well, which is something that I'd never seen before. It's only the properties I've seen on the island that have had that. I've been to several properties that have had bats in the loft.
Right.
And that's always interesting because bats are protected. The sheer range of properties I find fascinating. And on the island, we have a real mix. And then people themselves, I think, are interesting. And when you talk to people and you hear what people have done in their lives and what they've done as jobs, it really is fascinating. You don't realise how many really interesting people that have done some amazing things we have on the island here.
Perhaps you could do a radio show on the way and do some interviews. But what, there must be some interesting ways, because people go, oh, this is what we've done to prevent this from, you know, and it's done completely the opposite. But it's something that they picked up years ago and they've continued to do it.
I think the biggest thing is making everything absolutely airtight, because that does cause more problems with damp and mould than anything. And there is a fine line between, you don't want things drafty, but at the same time we all need ventilation. So it's trying to get that balance right. So, you know, we were saying about putting the draft excluders over letterboxes.
Yeah,
that's brilliant, that works really well. You wouldn't want to make a house completely airtight, otherwise all of that moist air has nowhere to go, and that's when the trickle vents in the windows become really important. And that's something I think there's a greater awareness of it now than there has been. And we've got our Webb's Law that's come out for the rented accommodation, that means the landlord has a legal obligation to deal with damp and mould. So we're getting more calls about that, and a lot of that, some of it is down to the building fabric, but a lot of it is just we haven't learnt how to live in the houses that we're in.
No, that's true. I say it's really dark, but a couple of weeks ago we had a load of cold weather, a load of rain as well, and I was busy at home doing some stuff, and all of a sudden I realised that I hadn't been out for 4 days. And I realised that I was getting a bit thick-headed. And thought, crikey, this is, so it's not healthy. So we must have it's all going in the right place. We've not got condensation anymore, but you can go too far if you shut out all of the natural air.
Yeah, you still need that regular ventilation. And nowadays there is a saying that you shouldn't have insulation without ventilation.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Makes absolute sense. Is there anything you want to add? Because obviously Christmas is coming and people are going to be, you know, putting the heating on full, and they're going to be, you know, doing cooking with the stove that they've got, because it's a lot easier than a, you know, an air fryer and so on. Have you got any useful tips?
I think the most useful tip is, if anybody's on a pay-as-you-go meter, make sure that you've got plenty of credit on it before the Christmas break, because a lot of places shut down over Christmas. So if you need to top that up, that's going to be so much harder to do, and there is a risk you could run out of money on your meter over Christmas.
Right.
So that is...
That's good advice.
That is one thing. Making sure that, yes, it's Christmas, but we still need to watch what we're doing and how much money we're spending. And don't worry about putting the Christmas lights up. That's not going to use so much money that it bankrupts you. And I think there is a lot to be said for having something at home that makes you feel good.
Yeah, unless you're Terry Ramplin, of course. He's got all those lights up Long Lane.
Yes.
But you just need a long extension lead and plug into next door. But I would imagine his bill's quite expensive. But
I would imagine it is. And in that case, I go and admire his lights.
So if you've got trees that have lights on, they're not going to cost you a massive amount.
No, most Christmas lights now are LED ones, so they will use hardly any energy. But again, make sure you switch them off at night when you're not using them.
Okay, look, last time you were in, you told us about the funding.
Yes.
Do you want to just quickly outline that and how people can become involved?
Yes, there is a new website now, vectisenergy.org, that people can go along to, and there's a bit more about the project, and people can register their interest through that website. We will be having our launch event for that on the 14th of January. A lot of the first year is going to be spent on the technical side of it, but the aim is to get 200 batteries into people's homes within the next 2 years and get them saving money. So it should save each household about £400-ish per year. And that, if we could reduce people's energy bills by that, I would be thrilled.
That would be magical. And yeah, not only that, it's helping out on the grid, isn't it?
It helps out on the grid. It means if there's a power outage, you may not be affected quite as much. There are so many benefits to it from an infrastructure point of view, as well as for saving people money, evening out the usage of when we use energy. So you can charge it at night, use it during the day, and that takes some of the load off the grid during the day. And it just means as we switch over to use more and more electricity rather than gas, we even out that usage.
There's so many plus points. I was just thinking of another useful tip. If you are one of these lucky people that are going to get the batteries, you can do things like when the sun's out, I've got a load of these small battery chargers that you can, you fill them up, you know, when the sun's out, and you use them when you haven't got any sun to charge your phones rather than plug it in and use the electric.
Yes, I mean, having a big battery this size, it should be enough to run the background usage of your home for most of the day. So that's having things like your fridge and freezer plugged in, having your lights on, your normal day-to-day bits and pieces. Obviously, if you're going to run a hot tub in the garden, it won't cover that. But it should cover most people's daytime use, so that it will be a huge saving.
Fantastic. You mentioned the 14th of January.
Yep.
Don't know whether you said where it was.
No, that will be at the bear enclosure at Sandown Zoo. So
right,
you'll see some information online if people are interested. There will be a link to register for that event, because we do need to keep an eye on the number of people attending.
Brilliant. And that will be on this, you're coming in on the 7th, aren't you? So you'll be able to come in and tell us all about it again. And so on. So, yeah, brilliant. Okay.
So keep an eye on vectisenergy.org.
Right.
Because that's where we'll be posting all the updates to the project.
There will be a link on our website at some point.
There will be.
I'm working on it.
I hear you're getting a new shiny website. So
it will be on there as soon as, all right? Yeah. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Thank you.
And a new year, and a great new year. We'll see you, first week of the new year.
Yes, that will come around quite quickly now, I think.
It will. We're there already. We go out the door and come back in, it will be new year. That's how quick it's going to go.
So have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
I haven't done any.
Neither have I.
I've been accused of being tight as well because my wife bought me an advent calendar,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't bought her one. I'm letting her share mine. So every 2 days we'll open it.
Okay.
We'll have one each.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. Well, you've got to try your best, haven't you?
You have.
But have a lovely Christmas. Thanks for coming in.